Welcome to Transition, Gadgets 360's gaming podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about crazy lineup of games that's coming to the Nintendo Switch, because there was a Nintendo Direct recently, and in that we got to know about a bunch of new games that are coming for this platform. Now, the context of this discussion is that right now both Xbox and PlayStation are a bit lacking when it comes to new first party titles in particular, and also like in general the new games that are coming in, the very exciting releases have already happened, at least that's what it looks like. But Switch is where all the fresh stuff is, if you go by this Direct which was in February 2019, and we also got to know that all of the games announced at the Direct will be releasing in 2019. So that makes it worth talking about. I'm your host Pranay Parab, here to welcome Games Editor Rishi Alvani.
Yeah, and by first party, we actually referring to exclusives for the console.
And stuff published by Nintendo. Yeah, so they publish a lot of third party games and third party exclusives, but we'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah, and that's our friend of the podcast, Mike.
Yes. Yeah, Mikhail Madnani. Yes. All right then. So first, maybe we should start by talking about the games that were announced at the Nintendo Direct. Now, there were a bunch of exciting things, but the most exciting one was, I guess, Tetris 99.
Yeah, Tetris is now Battle Royale, man. Fortnite and PUBG. Oh, noes. But it's basically a game where there are you and 99 other people control blocks in Tetris.
So basically, I didn't watch the Direct because it was, I think, at 3:30 in the morning. So when I woke up and like people were messaging me about a Tetris Battle Royale, you just like, okay, need to go back to sleep or something. But it actually is a thing. So Nintendo just... It's a Nintendo-developed thing, by the way. Like, they've licensed the Tetris thing. Tetris seems to be giving out their license much easier right now versus in the past, because you have stuff like Tetris Effect and also Sega's Puyo Puyo Tetris, which released digitally on PC. So Tetris 99 is basically... It's a Nintendo Switch online game, basically. And it has that logo also, so you need your paid subscription. This is interesting because free games on the Switch don't need paid online for multiplayer, like Fortnite and stuff like that. But this is the first free game. But they say it's been developed for Nintendo Switch online. So it's kind of like a bonus to the whole NES, the NES Netflix-like service they have, which has about, I think, above 25 games now at some point.
Yep.
And Tetris 99 basically just matches you with 98 other players, I think, or is it 99? I don't remember. And you see your main...
But Apex Legends ain't one. Hit me.
You see your Tetris board or your Tetris rectangle in the center, and they're like, all the other players are represented by small rectangles around this. You play Tetris normally, but you can attack other players. And what this means is, when it's like when you're playing against someone in Tetris versus, where you throw garbage at them, where it basically pushes up their Tetris board or whatever, and like the moment it hits the top, they lose. So what this does is it lets you actually target other players. And you earn badges also while you're playing. How you earn this exactly is not made clear, because there's no tutorial as such to this. And you use the analog sticks to target. Like, you can target people who are attacking you or people who are close to being knocked out and stuff like that. And that's basically the last person standing, to some extent, wins. So it's literally Tetris Battle Royale, which should not work on paper, but having played it over the weekend, it's actually really, really good. And it's another online game by Nintendo which does not have lag like Smash. So yeah. But in addition to that, they announced a ton of other stuff, and it's really funny because we've spoken about this multiple times in the past, where the first half, to some extent, of this year is basically seems to be carried by third party on all platforms. Microsoft has like Crackdown 3, Sony has code like Days Gone so far. Nintendo's published like a Wii U port, and they've like, that's it. So everyone was like, you know, what's happening with everyone? While PS4 and Xbox and PC also got Resident Evil 2, Kingdom Hearts 3, Ace Combat 7, like these are third party games. What's happening with first party? Well, Nintendo answered what's happening with first party and what they're publishing in the Direct.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's not just Tetris 99, right? We got other cool stuff like Super Mario Maker 2 that's out this year. Astral Chain from Bayonetta 3, Vanquish.
Box Boy, Box Girl.
Yeah.
That's actually out this, in April, which is the only release of note which is coming soon, I think.
And then there's Astral Chain, which is looking pretty good, made by Platinum Games. I think it has the same director as Nier Automata.
Yes.
And there's Fire Emblem Three Houses, which seems to be Fire Emblem meets Harry Potter, meets Hogwarts School of Magic, meets, stuff. Yeah, that seems interesting. This seems a little over the top for me, but yeah, that seems interesting too. But the biggest surprise had to be Link's Awakening.
Now, Legend of Zelda.
For those of you who are unaware, this is basically the best Zelda game of all time. Better than Breath of the Wild, better than Ocarina of Time, better than Oracle of Seasons, Oracle of Ages. Reason
is
being,
it better than Link to the Past though? Because
yes,
no one cares about Oracle of Ages.
Yes.
Okay.
It's much better than Link to the Past for one simple reason. The entire game's premise is contained. It takes place in this Twin Peaks like island where stuff goes on and it seems like you're trapped in a dream, but you're not.
And this was on the
sure.
Game Boy Color.
This was on the Game Boy.
Oh, okay. So then Color had DX.
Yeah, yeah. Then they
okay.
released it on the Game Boy
so
Color.
So they've been doing this nonsense porting stuff right since then.
Good morning. But it's really good. It's still like one of the
is
best.
Is it on
games
3DS
ever.
As
yes,
well?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's playable through Virtual Console.
It's playable on 3DS and I think Wii U as well. I'm not too sure. But it's really good and yeah. It's something you should definitely check out.
Abandoning my Switch buying plans,
and,
moving
honestly,
to 3DS.
And honestly, it's like one of those games which still holds up because one, the art style is timeless and two, the puzzles are really, really nice. It's got everything's got its own internal logic that seems to work fantastically. And it's one of those games which I played to completion and felt really sad when my Game Boy Color got stolen, but which actually had the cartridge of it, but it's really good. You guys should check that out. And yeah, there was even one and there was I think the biggest surprise of the night, which for Mike at least, was Dragon Quest XI.
Wasn't really a surprise, but the whole point of this Direct, which like when Nintendo announced the Switch, they said they wanted one big release per month, which kind of held true for the first year, 2017. Like since the Switch launched, we got something big almost every month, which was great. 2018 was not that great for the Switch, at least in terms of what Nintendo published. It was great for third-party stuff, indie games and all, but Switch was basically carried by a Splatoon and Xenoblade 2 expansion and Octopath Traveler. Then you had stuff like, you know, Wii U ports and all, a lot of Wii U ports. But now, at least from June onwards, it looks like they're getting back to their one big release per month thing, because June has Mario Maker 2, July has Fire Emblem, and July also has Dragon Quest Builders 2, which Nintendo's publishing on Switch, but Square Enix is publishing only on PS4. And it's a little weird because both these publishers are just talking about their own version when both games are basically the same thing. August has Astral Chain from Platinum and Nintendo. The interesting thing about this is because no one knew this game existed and they straight up just announced it with a trailer and said, oh, it's here, it's out in the end of August. September, October, November, December, no one knows what's happening yet. But Nintendo does have Link's Awakening, the remake, which hasn't been dated yet. Daemon X Machina, which they actually released the demo for prototype missions, which is this mech-based game. Gameplay is a little weird. It also does not run too well. I've played the demo. But that's supposed to be out in summer. Animal Crossing is supposed to be out this year as well. So that's three games. And yeah, Dragon Quest XI, like I love the game on PS4. It has actually got shown off properly with gameplay. And they confirmed that the 3DS, the 2D aspect of it, the sprite-based version, is also going to be here with some exclusive story content and stuff like that, which is Nintendo published. Now, this game is like above 30 GB on the PS4. And if it actually has more voice acting, more story content, a whole new 2D mode, it's going to be interesting to see how they manage fitting this on a cartridge. I have a feeling it might actually ship on a 32 GB cartridge, because I don't think Nintendo's going to pull the whole download required nonsense for something which they are publishing and promoting so heavily. But yeah, these games are supposed to be out at some point in October, September, October, November, December. I can easily see Dragon Quest coming out in September, because that'll be a year after the PS4 and PC version hit the West, and Zelda probably soon after. Animal Crossing would be a nice November, December, like holiday game. So they have a lot of stuff coming up, basically, versus Microsoft and Sony, which don't really have anything, at least announced so far. Sony has Ghost of Tsushima, Death Stranding, Last of Us 2, which no one believes are going to come out this year. Dreams is supposed to come out this year.
Dreams is, like, we just saw one random leak in between. Where,
no, no,
like,
no,
somebody
they actually have a closed beta and all. But, like, the thing with Dreams is, like, sure, it's going to come out, I'm going to get it. But, like, it's not really a big title which pushes console sales. Microsoft has Gears 5. That's it. Like, Crackdown 3 and Gears 5. What else?
Yeah, and to make matters even more amusing is, it's one thing altogether that Nintendo has a slate of exclusives to look forward to. But what's also interesting is that even games that are coming to the Switch for the first time, like Dragon Quest XI, which has its own 2D mode, or even Assassin's Creed 3, which fine, they're actually bringing in some stuff like touchscreen support. Granted, the Vita version of Assassin's Creed Liberation also had touchscreen support, and that's also coming to the Switch.
In this collection, Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered has both together, and it's part of the season pass for other platforms.
Yeah, and but fact of the matter is, they're actually looking at ways to add value for you to double dip or bother with games on the Switch.
Yeah, I mean, Unravel 2 is also one such title,
yeah,
right? Because it has really good local co-op. Like, that's probably the only reason why I would even consider playing it.
Yeah, single Joy-Con, two Joy-Cons on the same Switch. Yeah. You have your co-op setup.
Yeah,
like Overcooked
it's definitely going to be a better experience than, you know, playing co-op on other platforms, because, like, I always find that with the Switch, since you can carry it anywhere, you can play it with your friends anywhere, that's a big advantage.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, if you look at it right now, if you're still looking for a console to buy, or if you haven't jumped in yet, Nintendo's Direct pretty much is a reason to pick up the Switch. If you're willing to deal with the fact that Nintendo, one, in India doesn't exist officially, and two, that prices are a bit high on certain things.
Yeah, and prices are definitely going to be a thing. But then there's another way to look at this, that when you buy something like, say, a first-party game on Switch, there's a 99% chance it's not going to go down in price, so you're not actually losing much money, and you can sell it for almost the same. Like, we still see Zelda Splatoon 2 being sold for 3,000 plus used, which is unheard of for most first party games. Like, if you look at Spider-Man, you can already get it for 2,000 rupees in most places new. So, like, yeah, used will be even less. And this, we haven't even considered the quote-unquote rumored Metroid Prime trilogy, Bayonetta 3, more Wii U ports, which they could sprinkle throughout the year as well. And like, obviously, like, you're not going to get the highest fidelity and performance for these games, but if you want them portable, how else are you going to play Mortal Kombat 11, stuff like that? So
yeah, though Mortal Kombat is delayed.
So the thing is, Nintendo's posting about it releasing in April, but the physical stores are listing it as May. So it's possible that the digital version is releasing at the same time.
Yeah, and Warner Brothers has done this before, particularly with Dying Light. Dying Light, the European release was delayed by almost a month, because Warner Brothers conveniently forgot that they were supposed to release it on disc. So what happened with Dying Light was US had it for a month ahead of time. And I remember that because we ended up picking up a US copy for review. And the European copy came in a month later. Now, what's interesting is that we know for a fact that, at least in India, the game's delayed till May 17. This is because the game has been listed on Games the Shop, which is owned by the distributor of the game. Owned by the distributor worldwide. So Warner Brothers distributor is EXPRESS. EXPRESS owns Games the Shop. Games the Shop changed the date for the Nintendo Switch version of Mortal Kombat 11 from April 23 to May 17. Now, that's interesting for a bunch of reasons. European stores have listed Mortal Kombat for May 10. So India might just be the last region to get Mortal Kombat on cartridge, which is even more funny when you consider aggressive Games the Shop has been to try and take pre-orders for this specific SKU.
Well, India won't be the last one. Japan will be the last one because it's not releasing there, right?
Is it? It's not?
As far as I know, like, people were complaining about it online. I haven't actually looked into it, but apparently Mortal Kombat is too gruesome to get rated or stuff like that. I haven't seen it on Amazon Japan yet, so unless it gets put up later, yeah, it's probably not releasing on Switch at least. But they do get quite a few Cero Z, which is the equivalent to 18, PEGI 18
exactly.
For India.
Yeah.
Or like basically the highest allowed tier, I'd say, of ratings over there. But yeah, that's the thing. But we still haven't seen any gameplay for the Switch version, and I don't think that might change until release, where people suddenly see it, kind of like what happened with WWE. Hopefully the port isn't as bad, but yeah.
Yeah, so one more thing I wanted to bring up. Did we speak about the DLC announced at this direct?
Oh, you mean Joker for Super Smash Bros. Yeah, so apparently that's going to be out, I think, end of April, along with the Super Smash Bros. 3 Ultimate 3.0 update.
Yeah.
So that's to be expected. What was interesting was that there was a lot of noise around the Persona community that they'd announced Persona 5R. Which would possibly be Persona 5 for the Switch. However, that didn't happen. And there's still anticipation that we might see something along those lines.
In March.
In March.
When they have this anime, when they have another anime episode or an original video animation promo, which they do. Because Atlus doesn't announce stuff at other events or whatever. They have their own thing where they will delay live streams and stuff like that and announce stuff. So if it gets announced, it'll be in March or something. But I think they might time it closer so that, you know, they get the maximum hype and they get people buying Smash for Joker. And when they announce the amiibo, which they definitely will, because every Smash character is getting an amiibo. Snake's already up for pre-order. So they might tie it into that, where if you scan that, you get some stuff in the Switch version of Persona 5 if it gets announced. Stuff like that.
Yeah, and what is also interesting is that they actually announced DLC for Captain Toad, of all things.
Yeah, the most random thing ever.
Because for those of you who are unaware, Captain Toad started its life as a Wii U game. And it was a Wii U game based on bonus levels found in Super Mario 3D Land for the Wii U.
3D World
for the Wii U, sorry. So what happened was in 3D World, there were these bonus Toad missions, and they thought, oh, the reception of that is good enough. Let's create a full standalone game for the Wii U. And then they brought it to the 3DS and the Switch. Personally, I still find the 3DS version the best version of the game, simply because the controls feel a lot more intimate. It works a lot better with the stylus.
And 3D looks really good.
Yep. But sadly, it doesn't seem like the 3DS version is getting the DLC. It's only the Switch version of the game. So that's there. It seems that Nintendo is looking to support its titles much longer than you'd expect, right? Because what tends to happen in most AAA games, or most games in general, since the PS3 360 era, is that you'd have the game announced, you'd have it out, and around the same time, they'd announce the DLC and give you a DLC roadmap. The fact that we've had Captain Toad out for a while, I mean, I think it's been close to a year almost, and we're getting DLC now. That's pretty good. That basically means that your games hold value much longer due to the period between the game being out and DLC being announced.
Also, something that has changed, I mean, the perception that I had at least has changed, is that Nintendo games never go on sale.
That's been happening.
Yeah, because apparently, I think Rishi was telling me over the weekend that the discount scene is pretty good these days. It's not like, you know, a few years ago when the only time you'd get a Nintendo game on sale would be like some $5 discount in some quote-unquote sale that was mentioned.
No, now they've started doing 20% now.
I think Octopath was 50% off, right?
Yeah, roughly 40-50% off a couple of times digitally.
Yeah.
And
40% off, but then, like, that's, like, I guess it's published by Nintendo, but it's still not a first-party
game. Yeah, exactly.
So, like, Splatoon 2 and all, I think the cheapest, the flagship games of theirs go is maximum 30% off. They haven't put them, which is still a massive improvement over last gen. I mean, if you still look at games like WarioWare Gold on 3DS, it's not dropped below $30 from $40 physically or digitally. So, yeah, that's the thing. And given this Captain Toad DLC situation, I have a feeling they're going to start discounting Captain Toad. It's already been from $40. And yeah, Captain Toad was one of the rare Wii U ports that actually wasn't $60. It was $40.
Yeah.
So, in India, you can find it in most places between 3 and 3,500, which is less than the between 4 and 4,500 for all the other $60 games like Donkey Kong and stuff like that.
Yeah, and also what's interesting in all of this is, while there are some discounts to be had on first party, let's be honest, if you have a Switch, you should consider having multiple accounts for multiple regions. For example, Undertale in Japan was going for like 33% off, and it's playable in English. All right. Obviously, there are some hang-ups while trying to navigate the store, but they're pretty easy to go through.
The store mentions what languages are supported, so you don't need to like take a chance also. You can just literally point your phone with Google Translate to the Switch and it tells you straight up.
Yeah, and so and then other regions too. So Europe has its own discounts. US has its own discounts. So if you know where to look, and chances are you'll find a good deal. And what's interesting here in all this is that, let's be honest, if you have a Nintendo Switch, chances are you're going to get it with at least Mario or Zelda to begin with. And those games are pretty long. So by the time you move on to the next game, you'll actually end up saving a bit of money. And that's the interesting thing we've noticed, right? Because a lot of these games do have an insane amount of replayability. I mean, I'm still playing Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Maybe it's because I like the game, but point is, yeah, it's and I know people are still going through Zelda's DLC, and they've spent like hundreds of hours in already. So point is, by the time you move to the next game, you'll find a good deal eventually.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at Xenoblade Chronicles 2, some people here who will not be named have spent like 250 hours in the game.
300 last I checked.
Yeah, so
with the DLC, yeah.
Yeah, hi Mike. So so that's the situation. It's point is, if you're smart about what you pick up, you'll end up finding a good deal regardless.
Mm.
And I think also here what's disturbing with all this is, since we've already seen Nintendo put its cards on the table and let people know what to expect, it makes the silence from Microsoft and Sony a lot more deafening. Sure, you have Days Gone, but that's out in April, and you have Gears 5 that's apparently going to hit this year, but what else?
Yeah, Sony doesn't even have E3 this year. Like, they're skipping E3. Microsoft will probably announce a lot of third-party stuff and a lot of console launch exclusive world premieres and all, but like, what is Sony going to announce?
I hate covering Microsoft events, man.
Why?
They announce like 150 games, and then you later have to like just dig in through their press releases to find out that, okay, this is a timed exclusive for 1 year, this is a timed exclusive for 2 months. And
that's what like everyone does that, even with like Sony, when they announce stuff, when they announced Neo, Yakuza 0 and like King of Fighters, no one knew if they were exclusive, console exclusive or what, and
yeah,
whatever.
But the thing is, at least there's that period of exclusivity that made sense.
Yeah.
Here with Microsoft, you can't tell.
Yeah, like, I mean, we PUBG got a disc release like 2 months before, 3 months before the PS4 version hit, right? And it says console launch exclusive or whatever. So we had to go by rumors and stuff like that for when it was hitting PS4. That was a fun time.
And then even if you look at the current output by both Sony and Microsoft, right? I mean, you have Crackdown 3, which is so-so at best. You got Sony, which is, I mean, you know, still basking in last year's greatness. So we haven't seen anything new. So, I mean, my point is, the output hasn't been consistent.
I think they're like relying on third-party AAA stuff way too much right now, and they seem to be doing that for the rest of the year also.
Yeah, and that's a little disturbing, right? Because it also goes to show that that at the end of the day, if you're depending on people to give a crap about your console through the likes of Ubisoft and EA and Activision, that's not a good precedent, because as we've seen, they're not I mean, the output isn't that great. Spoiler alert, some of the upcoming titles are pretty bad. Like Anthem, for example, but we'll get to that in the second section of the episode. So, I mean, yeah, there is a little reason to differentiate between the two at this very point in time, and hopefully that changes. So, yeah.
Okay, then. So, I think we can safely move to the section which Rishi just spoke about. It's the games we've been playing this week. So, I think I'll go first. Now that there's no Chrono Trigger to talk about, and I'm not getting death stares anymore from, you know, random people who will not be named. So, this week, I think I met my cousin last week and some repressed memories surfaced, and I discovered that I actually first gamed on the Sega Genesis, I think. That was probably my first gaming console. Maybe like, I don't know, like maybe the SNES or the Sega Genesis. One of those consoles was the first one. And I discovered that I played something on the Sega Genesis, which is a horrible game called Golden Axe.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Leave this room never to return. Golden Axe was epic. Could you?
At least you didn't say Altered Beast. That game is really bad.
Yeah, like, dude.
Anyway, so at that time, my cousin and I used to play this in co-op, and it used to be a lot of fun. But since he was elder, he would always take the most powerful beat-em-up character in a beat-em-up game, and I used to hate that. So there's like a human male, a human female, and a dwarf, three characters in this game. I used to always end up with the dwarf, because at that time I was like, I can't be a female in a game, blah, blah, blah. And I was like 8 years old or something, and ultimately I used to like end up with the dwarf, and he used to always take the human male, and we made significant progress a couple of times, but I don't think we ever got close to beating the boss, even though it was just like a 1 hour long game. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. So now it's available for free on iOS and Android via Sega Classics. And after playing that, I realized how bad it is now. Maybe on a controller, and actually like playing it on the Sega Genesis was a decent experience. Like it was actually a lot of fun, but playing it on iOS, horrible experience. Please do not play it even though it's free. I just went and played it for some time because I was like, okay, fine, let's just see what I liked so much back in the day. And now I don't like it that much, frankly, because the controls are really bad in this. You have to like beat people up with like a sword and things, well, beat monsters up, and jumping and hitting them is like the only reliable way of hitting them. So anyway, I decided to like not play it any further. And well, next week I'll have some more interesting games to talk about. Mike, what have you been playing?
Quite a few things. So Crackdown 3's campaign only, not tried multiplayer yet. Campaign is pretty interesting. No, not 10 on 10. It's kind of like a weird hybrid between Saints Row and Ubisoft's collectathon stuff they used to pull like in some of the earlier games, which they've like slowed down to some extent now, where like I've not played much of Crackdown 1. I got it, and Crackdown 2 isn't backward compatible, so I'm not going to be able to play it until they do that. But Crackdown 3, very interesting. Basically just roam around the city, try and collect agility orbs so you can like jump and run quicker and all, and like you see random enemies and you beat the shit out of them and all. So it basically is like if you enjoy Saints Row and like if you enjoy collectathon and like cleaning up map stuff and all. Like, you remember when I was talking about Spider-Man, how I just stopped the story in the beginning and just went and collected all the backpacks which was there? So like similar stuff over here. If you like that, it's good. But it really should not run the way it does on Xbox One X, given how it looks. So I don't think they're gonna fix it, but yeah, that's basically that. Other than that, been playing Danmaku Unlimited 2, and the reason I played that is because while I was listening to the soundtrack for 3 on Spotify, it recommended something from 2, and I was like, yeah, this has a really good soundtrack, let me start playing it. So it's not out on Switch, so playing it on iOS. These games actually play surprisingly well on iOS and Android, and it's out on both, so yeah. Other than that, been playing Tetris 99, already spoke about that. And the last thing I've been playing is still playing Steins Gate Elite on the Switch, so It's really good. It's just like watching the anime as a choose your own adventure thing and all. And like, I'd say anyone should either watch the anime or play the visual novel. Now they're available on multiple platforms, so there's no real excuse anymore except that it's 50 hours long. So yeah, basically that. What about you, Rishi?
I've been playing Anthem. It's bad. BioWare should feel bad. EA should feel bad. And it's just disappointing. And I say this as someone who has been, for the lack of a better term, a dyed-in-wool BioWare fan. I've picked up and played and finished almost all their games, including the highly mediocre Dragon Age 2. This is worse than Dragon Age 2. And it's tragic because this could have been a really, really good game. It's just that it seems that halfway through the development of Anthem, they fired anyone who's responsible for level design and story progression. So, I mean, sure, by now everyone probably knows that Anthem's a game where you basically wear a suit known as a javelin, which is basically that version of Tony Stark's Iron Man suits. You have like four to choose from: the Interceptor, the Ranger, the Colossus, and the Storm. And well, they're good. They're really nice. They're good suits to use. I'm biased towards the Colossus because that's super OP in a lot of situations. Very good for crowd control, and they work well. And they work well when you're playing with people who you know. So that whole stronger together aspect of the gameplay actually holds true, which particularly when you're playing with a squad of people who are using complementary abilities. Visually, it looks really nice. There are some weird issues with enemies disappearing from the battlefield.
You're playing on the Xbox One X, right?
Yes, Xbox One X. There are some weird issues with enemies kind of disappearing from the battlefield, but the frame rate holds up and it's, for the most part, looks really nice. A large part of it has to do with the visual, with the art direction. But soon enough, you're going to realize that every mission almost plays out the same. It's going to have you either, you know, killing a certain number of enemies or solving a really dumb puzzle, which basically involves you taking one artifact from one area and putting it in the other. There's no sense of moment-to-moment progression, which is sad because the gunplay is a lot better than it was in the beta. The flight is impeccably good. Like, flying in that game is by far one of the best experiences this gen. It's right up there with shooting in Destiny 2. It's the reason you keep coming back. But the progression's broken. You reach a point in the game. I'm not giving anyone any spoilers here. But you reach a point in the game where to progress further, you need to do social stuff. You need to do social stuff like revive your teammates or open a certain number of treasure chests. And I'm like, dude, how can you do this? How can you tie progression in a campaign, in a story campaign, with what you do in the social or multiplayer aspect of the game? That's stupid.
I thought that's a key responsibility for all EA employees.
It's stupid. And honestly, it doesn't work. It breaks the flow. It breaks the gameplay. And it's really sad, right? Because you'd think that, look, I get it, that the shared world genre is relatively new. We had Destiny, which did it first. We had The Division, which did it as well. And we have Division 2 that's also coming out that'll do something similar. It's not an easy genre to crack. I get that. But come on, even the first Destiny didn't have this problem. Mm. The first Destiny and Destiny 2, the only limiters to your progression quite literally was your level and the gear you had. Here, it's like if you don't do certain items in free play. So the game has two modes, right? The story section and free play where you can go around the map doing stuff. Now, when you're limiting my progress and story depending on what I do in free play, that's pretty stupid. And I think that's, to me, the biggest drawback because it ruins any sense of fun. It ruins the entire power fantasy of being this super OP character in this crazy powerful suit laying waste to zillions of enemies. I can deal with the fact that every mission can almost turns out to be something similar. I can deal with the fact that it doesn't have that much endgame content. But I can't deal with the fact that you break my progression, you halt my progression, because I decided not to be social and play with other people. That's stupid. And to me, this is the biggest drawback. I mean, I had my problems with games like Fallout 76. You know, no NPCs, barely any story. But to me, this is a bigger offender because you're basically artificially padding out the game. And you're artificially padding out the length of the game, and you're not giving me anything worthwhile. You're forcing me to do stuff I didn't buy the game to do, and which is really sad, right? Because we've had BioWare employees talk about the fact that when you're squatting up with people, it's useful because you get great loot, but they didn't say that you have to go into free play and play public expeditions with other people to continue playing. So that's been a very annoying situation, and what's worse is that the side missions in the game, which you take on for other characters, they're actually pretty cool. They actually follow a certain storyline and they're actually more interesting and involving. The stuff you do in Fort Tarsis, like for example, you'll come across other Javelin pilots, freelancers as they're known, and you'll get invested in their day-to-day and help them out of trouble as well within the fort, which is pretty interesting. So you'll come across a freelancer who basically lost her Javelin in a game of cards, and you actually help her get it back by resorting to dialogue choices. It's pretty cool.
Sounds like some anime I've seen.
So like they do some good stuff in terms of the world building and in terms of what you do within Fort Tarsis. But then if your overall progression is broken, what's the point? And that's the most disappointing part, because this has something interesting to say. It just chooses not to say it.
Yeah. All right, then. That's all we have for this episode of Transition. We'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. If you use any podcast apps such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or any other app of your choice, do rate the show, do review it, do subscribe to it. These things, they help us a lot. The music for this episode comes via Magnus Solai Paulsen, whose album PPP PPP is where the tracks are from. And thank you so much for listening.